live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 8th day of July 2019. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program one of my favorite guests to interview, Dr. Michael A.G. Haken, professor of church history and biblical spirituality and director of the Andrew Fuller Center for Baptist Studies at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Today we are going to be addressing the theme Baptists and Persecution, a historical, ecclesiological, and theological study. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Michael A.G. Haken.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
And for anybody who would like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And although you've already done this during your past interviews, there may be first-time guests who, believe it or not, they might not be familiar with you, Dr. Haken. So we have not only new Christians who listen to this show, in addition to our seasoned Bible-believing Christians, but we also even have those outside of the Christian faith on occasion who let us know they're listening, such as atheists, agnostics. We have Muslims on occasion who chime in. We have those outside of Protestantism known as Roman Catholics that occasionally listen. All kinds of folks. So if you could, tell us about your post there, teaching church history and biblical spirituality at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, I've been teaching since 2007, full-time at Southern. Was part-time or adjunct before that. And it's been a tremendous privilege to work with about 70 other men and a few women there on faculty. The area I teach in is church history. There are three other brothers alongside me. And most of my focus is early church and 18th century what we call British descent, which would be those churches outside of the state church, the Church of England in the 18th century in England, which would include the area that I really kind of focus on, which is the Baptists. I've been privileged also to be the director of the Andrew Fuller Center there. Andrew Fuller was a very important theologian who was the kind of instrument, theological instrument behind William Carey. And we host a conference every year. Upcoming next year, we actually won't have one this year, but next year will be 2020. We'll be doing one on angels, theology of angels.
Wow!
Yeah, and
that's interesting. I'm going to be. I don't know the date yet. I'm going to be interviewing Dustin Binge on his doctoral dissertation, Jonathan Edwards' theology of angels, or angelology of Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah, he did his thesis under my supervision. He'll be one of the speakers on that occasion.
Oh wow, I didn't even know that. Okay, great.
Yeah. So we've got a great lineup. People speaking on Augustine, Calvin, Luther, Spurgeon. It's an area that we really kind of have neglected, but earlier generations were more tuned into the biblical data. So it's been a great privilege to be there. Love the students we get. It's been a tremendous privilege to train men going into pastoral ministry. We graduate pretty well every year, somewhere around 1,000 students, which is huge. So if any of my listeners are thinking about the school, do pray for us. We have a weighty, weighty charge to be faithful to the gospel that's been handed on to us.
Praise God. I'm going to try to make it out there to that conference, by the way. That's in Louisville, Kentucky, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that'll be in September, mid-September 2020.
Great. Well, I will. That's a subject that definitely fascinates me. In fact, I wrote the foreword to a book that was published in the 1990s called Angels and Demons by Victor Knowles, someone who is outside of my Reformed beliefs. But I thought the book was excellent, and he asked for permission to use a letter I wrote him congratulating him on the excellence of the book. To use it as a foreword, and it was used as the foreword. And unfortunately, I think it's out of print, but you could still get used copies on Amazon. This is a fascinating subject to me, Baptist and persecution. I don't think I've ever spent a full two-hour broadcast specifically on this subject. And if you could tell us something about the differences between Anabaptists and Baptists to start with, because I know that a lot of Baptists, especially many of our fundamentalist Baptist friends, like to adopt the Anabaptists as being exactly as they are, and I know that the Anabaptists varied widely, actually, and some of them did not even immerse believers. They used pouring or effusion. And there were theological differences that differed widely. But if you could tell us a bit about that, because I think that is important to bring up when we speak about Baptists and persecution, because obviously the Anabaptists were a very severely persecuted people.
Yes. The Anabaptists emerged really in the 16th century. They're part of the larger picture that we call the Reformation. They heeded Martin Luther's call to go back to Scripture. And as they read the Scriptures, the New Testament, they realized a number of things were awry, not only with the Roman Catholic Church, but also awry with the Reformers, the magisterial Reformers, that we call them, who worked with the state to bring about Reformation of the Church. And the critical thing they realized is that in the New Testament, what you have is really a separation of church and state. The church is not using the state to pursue its heaven-given mandate to evangelize the nations. The state is not kind of an arm of the church, excuse me, to enforce orthodoxy. And in fact, the church is to be made up of believers. It's a believer's church. And once they realized this, it created all kinds of problems for them, because they refused to include in their congregations men and women who could not confess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who had no experience of conversion. And because the state churches, be they Catholic or Protestant, regarded the church and state as kind of as a married union, the Anabaptists were seen as revolutionaries, because they, by refusing to enroll men and women they did not regard as believers in their churches, they were basically undermining not only the concept of Christendom, which had diverged in the medieval period, but also they were undermining the state, because to become a Christian in the medieval period, and also for Protestants like Luther, to become a Christian, to be baptized as a child, was to enter the church and to become a citizen of the state. So the Anabaptists then emerged in the 16th century, heeding the call for believers' churches, heavily persecuted. We're looking at probably tens of thousands martyred. A lot of them by Roman Catholics, but sadly some also by Protestants. And there was very few of them in England, for whatever reasons. And so the argument that there is an organic link between the Baptists, who emerge, very clearly emerge in the English-speaking context in the 17th century and the Anabaptists, is a tenuous one. Most scholars recognize that the emergence of the Baptists in England, they came out of Puritanism, which was a renewal movement within the Church of England, within the state church, seeking to make the Reformation a thoroughgoing Reformation. And some of these Puritans began to read the scriptures and came to the conviction that the idea of a state church is unbiblical, and began to separate themselves into independent congregations. And some of those independent congregations rediscovered believers' baptism. So there are similarities between in the emphasis on believers' churches, but the ethos and origins are very different. And continental Anabaptists, generally speaking, were not committed to the Lord's Day as the Sabbath. That is part of the Puritan world, and it was transmitted to their Baptist heirs. The continental Anabaptists were completely committed to pacifism and believed that taking any oath of allegiance to the state, and in fact, serving as an officer of the state in any capacity was unbiblical and sinful. The Baptists never adopt those positions. And so it's very difficult in my mind to argue that the Baptists emerge out of the Anabaptist movement. However, there are similarities, and both of them suffered significant persecution in their different realms.
Now, when you say that the Anabaptists emerged from the 16th century, what would you make then of the Anabaptists that, even if they did not have that nickname or insult, as some may have received it, Anabaptists, were there not those that believed in the independence and autonomy of the church and believed in believers-only baptism that existed prior to the 16th century, prior to Menno Simons and so on?
To be honest, it's very, you'd have to go back to the very early church. You'd have to go back to the 3rd century, 4th century. I mean, you have various groups in the medieval period who are opposed to the Roman Catholic state church. The Waldensians, for example, following Pierre Valdez in the 1200s. The Lollards, following John Wycliffe. There is no indication on either of those groups that they were committed to believers' baptism.
Oh, that's interesting.
We rightly prize John Wycliffe as the morning star of the Reformation because of his emphasis on sola scriptura, but there's no indication that Lollards only practiced believers' baptism.
Now, you and I, being Baptists ourselves, and we believe that is the biblical ecclesiology and the biblical understanding of the ordinances, that the church is comprised of autonomous, independent congregations that have no hierarchy outside themselves, outside of the elders, other than the Lord Jesus and his word, and also a view of believer-only baptism, as I mentioned. Wouldn't there have been those that were Baptistic for a while after the apostolic era? I mean, were they completely wiped out, or, you know, what was the situation like that? Like, for instance, I understand from church history, and you could correct me if I'm wrong since you're the historian, I recall reading that the first time we ever see in recorded history infant baptism being mentioned, Tertullian mentions it, but he mentions it with criticism against it. He was opposed to it. And, of course, the earliest extra-biblical document that we have for Christian teaching and practice, the Didache, doesn't mention infant baptism at all. In fact, it is clear that it is teaching immersion, in fact, triune immersion. But if you could, where did the Baptists go? Were they just being persecuted into hiding? Did they disappear for a while?
Yeah, you find basically up until the 4th century, and even after Constantine for about 100 years, the dominant mode of baptism is believers' baptism by immersion. And you see that, for instance, in the 4th century, Basil of Caesarea grew up in a third-generation Christian home. He's not baptized until he's a believer. Gregory Nazianzus is the same. Augustine is the same. But emerging at the end of the 2nd century, there is infant baptism. Tertullian writes against it. Cyprian in the mid-3rd century defends it. And by the early 5th century, Augustine is arguing that infant baptism solves a very tricky pastoral problem, which is what happens to infants who die before any sort of age of accountability, which is a major problem in the ancient world with the high incidence of infant death. And what do you tell parents about whether, Christian parents, where their child is? And infant baptism for Augustine becomes a vehicle for removal of original sin. And so that becomes the dominant thinking through the Middle Ages, especially in the West. But up until the 4th century, you still have baptism by immersion. What is lost by the probably the early 3rd century is Congregationalism. And the whole idea of the congregation being an independent body that elects its own officers, etc., that is under attack, and the emergence of an Episcopal model is happening in the early third, late second century. But baptismal immersion of believers is still the dominant mode, and the subjects, believers, well into the fourth century.
Interesting. In fact, I think this is the very first time I heard that Augustine at one time was a credo Baptist. I did not know that.
He was baptized as a believer. His mother wanted to baptize him. Now, the question is whether, as a child, whether or not her husband prevented her, who was not a believer. I would affirm that somebody like Basil of Caesarea definitely is a credo Baptist.
Wow.
He was baptized as a believer. And it's interesting that his parents, who are very strong believers, their parents in turn were persecuted, they didn't baptize him as an infant.
And just for the sake of our listeners who are unfamiliar with the term credo Baptist, that's a person who believes only in baptism for those who can confess their repentance and faith, their creed, if you will. Am I right on that?
Yes.
So a lot of people may be unfamiliar with that term. And, of course, when we refer to ancient Christians as being credo Baptists, we're not saying that they were identical necessarily to the First Baptist Church of Louisville, Kentucky, or any Baptist church that we have in America and in Europe and in other parts of the world today, although obviously there would have to be some similarities if we believe that our faith is a biblical one. But I know that immediately people may start to be mocking and ridiculing me as if I am teaching that there has been an unbroken chain of Baptists that are identical today to the Baptists today. But as far as... Before I even go into a broader picture of the persecution of Baptists, can you tell us something about a book that I am dying to get my hands on? Because it's a new book to me. I'm not even sure when you co-authored this, but Waiting on the Spirit of Promise, The Life and Theology of Suffering of Abraham Cheer. If you could let us know about that, because I know that Cheer had some similarities with Bunyan, John Bunyan, in that... The Romans 8:28 promise that the Lord has given us was true for Bunyan and for Cheer, in that while they were persecuted and imprisoned, the Lord used that to the great praise and honor and glory of his name, because both those men produced voluminous writings in prison.
Yeah, Abraham Cheer was a pastor. He's a contemporary of Bunyan. He's probably born in the 1620s. Went through the Civil War with Bunyan. Bunyan served very briefly in one of Cromwell's New Model, one of the regiments of Oliver Cromwell's New Model Army. Cheer might have had some role to play in the siege of Plymouth by troops loyal to the king, but he really didn't play a prominent role in the army. At some point, converted in the late 1640s, roughly, you know, pretty well the same time as Bunyan, becomes a pastor in Plymouth, one charge, and then is arrested around the same time as Bunyan in the 1660, and will spend three different arrests, three different imprisonments. Unlike Bunyan, he'll die in prison.
Wow.
He's a very significant figure because he provides a written record of his experience of imprisonment. A number of the Baptist ministers who were imprisoned, we really just know that they were imprisoned, like Andrew Gifford Sr., but we don't have a written record of what that meant for them. But we do for Cheer, and Cheer, as you mentioned, produced a large number of writings while he was in prison for his congregation and for others. And because Bunyan is just a remarkable author, he's the one figure we remember. But there were others like Cheer who deserve to be remembered. So yeah. A number of years ago, I had discovered Cheer. One of my students who was going on for PhD studies in England wanted to do a thesis in his, would have been a THM, I think, or maybe an MDiv thesis. And I thought, why don't we work on Abraham Cheer? And so the result of that work together over a year was the book that was published by Whip and Stock that you mentioned.
I assume you're speaking of Brian L. Hansen.
I am, and Brian's now teaching at Bethlehem Baptist Seminary, where John Piper School.
Wow, well, perhaps we could get Brian on the show sometime.
Yep, yeah, he'd be great.
So, going back to the theme for today, Baptists and Persecution, a historical, ecclesiological, and theological study, tell us why initially and when Baptists were being persecuted. Was it more because of their rejection of infant baptism or because of their view of an independent autonomous church? And who was persecuting them initially? How did this begin in your understanding of church history?
Yeah, Baptists emerge, as I mentioned earlier, in the 17th century. The first Baptists come out of a movement called the Separatists. The Separatists were Puritans who left the Church of England. They came to the realization that the Church of England was not a true biblical church in the way that the New Testament churches were set up, that is, independent of the state, independent congregation. And they were heavily persecuted in the late 1500s by Elizabeth I and then by James I, who are the king, queen and king of England, respectively. A group of these separatists went to Holland, and it was there in Holland that the leader, John Smith, came to the discovery of believers' baptism. He stayed in Holland, but a group of them went back to England under the leadership of a man named Thomas Helwys, H-E-L-W-Y-S. And Thomas Helwys was a man of substance. He was a landed gentry. So he wasn't aristocracy, but he was well off. And he had connections with the royal court of James I. And so when he got back to England, he wrote a book pleading for religious liberty, and argued that the state had no right to persecute any man for his religious convictions if that man was seeking as well to be a good citizen of the state, not trying to overthrow the state. He should be allowed to worship God as he saw fit. And he actually sent the book to James I. In the front page of the book, he wrote a personal letter to the king. And that book still exists. It's in the British Library. It's a tremendous letter. It's one of the earliest documents we have in the modern period of pleading for religious liberty, which is absolutely foundational to all the freedoms we enjoy today. And that's why this issue is very significant. That book was probably alerted authorities to the presence of this Baptist congregation in London. Helwys was subsequently arrested and probably died in prison 1615, 1616 in the Tower of London.
Wow. Another one of the reasons that this theme is fascinating to me is that I discovered in my 30s, I believe, through my uncle, my Anglican uncle that my family, the Arnzens, immigrated from Norway in the 19th century. This is maybe my father's side of the family, my paternal grandfather's side of the family. And they left Scandinavia in the 19th century because at the time, the Lutheran church state, or state church, I should say, the Lutheran state church was persecuting Baptists and others, all others outside of Lutheranism, for conducting baptisms and the Lord's Supper, particularly without a Lutheran minister's license. And although they were not being physically tormented, tortured, and murdered, they were being fined and imprisoned. And there was, I'm assuming you're aware of the massive exodus from Scandinavia in the 19th century. And my ancestors were Baptists on my father's side, all the way up to my father's father. And I was raised Roman Catholic, had no idea about this because my father was Episcopalian, and he married my mother, who was Roman Catholic, and my father later converted to Catholicism when I was about 17. He thought it would bring the family closer together. And he also erroneously thought in his mind that the Catholic Church was first, so therefore, in his mind, he was returning to the root of Christianity, which obviously is a falsehood. But I did not even know his father was a Baptist, and I did not know all of the Arnzens prior to him that we have in recorded history were Baptists, at least in the past. And the Arnzens who settled in Virginia are still predominantly Baptist. So this was all a new thing to me, and obviously the subject is more precious to me.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, those believers were what we call free churches, and ended up trying to establish congregations in Scandinavia, particularly Sweden and Norway, independent of the state, and suffered significant discrimination by state authorities because of their convictions. Wow, that's a great heritage.
Yeah, amen. And I can remember my father not being so pleased when I said, "Hey, Dad, I think we should all return to our roots." Because I was a Baptist already at the time. So the story was even more significant for me being a Baptist. But we are going to our first break right now. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Dr. Michael A.G. Haken on Baptists and persecution, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Of course, you can ask any question relative to the martyrs and Christian theology. We do have a scholar and theologian and historian on our show today, so we will accept a bit broader of a theme, but the main questions we're hoping to get are involving Baptists, our history, and our persecution. And the email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Dr. Michael Haken and the persecution of Baptists.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which is almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hey, this is Pete Orta, former guitar player for the Grammy Award-winning Christian rock band, Petra. I'd like to invite you to my new podcast called Christian Conversations Unfiltered. This channel is much different than my sermon podcast. The episodes are intimate conversations with people who I enjoy about topics that I can't really unbox from the pulpit. Each episode is unproduced, unedited, and unapologetic. Conversations that might not only help you answer some relevant questions you might be struggling with, but also help create some questions in your head that you might not have even ever thought of. The purpose of this podcast is to help people apply their theology while broadening their biblical worldview. So go to PeteOrta.com, that's PeteOrta.com, and click subscribe to podcasts, and then choose what podcast you'd like to hear, if not both, and what platform works best for you. Can't wait for you to join us. God bless.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessialan 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And if you could please give a thanks to Solid Ground Christian Books, if indeed you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, give them a thanks by purchasing books from them If you've already purchased from them, purchase more books from them, because they have just agreed to increase their spending on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and in regard to their advertising campaign. In fact, they voluntarily did that without me asking, because they are getting such a great result from the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience, and also because they don't want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to disappear from the airwaves. And we need the advertising dollars from fine folks like those at Solid Ground Christian Books in order to exist. So remember, for all your gift-giving needs, whatever the occasion may be, there's a lot of wedding anniversaries coming up in the summertime. There's also all kinds of birthdays and back-to-school gifts that you'll be shopping for. Your kids may be going away to college. Why not give a gift that brings with it the gift of eternal life, should our Lord in his sovereignty and providence use the book for that reason, and also to edify and educate those true believers in your life who have a lot to learn yet still, as we all do, from the unsearchable riches of Scripture, through the finest of Christian teachers and preachers and authors and scholars and theologians. Solid Ground Christian Books is the finest from the past and the present. So go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and make sure you tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with our two-hour interview, with about 90 minutes or less to go, with Dr. Michael A.G. Haken, professor of church history and biblical spirituality and director of the Andrew Fuller Center for Baptist Studies at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. We are discussing Baptists and Persecution, a historical, ecclesiological, and theological study. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have Mary in Cork, Ireland, who has a question for you, Dr. Haken. I have read your book on the Baptist story when I attended the Munster Bible College in Cork, Ireland. I did not have the privilege of meeting you, but nonetheless, I read this book. Thank you very much for enlightening me about all that went on in the past regarding Christianity and their persecution. May I ask you a question, please? What are your thoughts on Munster in Germany in 1534? A fanatical group of Anabaptists seized the town of Munster in Germany by force, believing they were setting up the kingdom of God. Oh, I didn't pronounce that correctly. In Germany, by force, believing they were setting up the kingdom of God. A theocracy was formed. They introduced laws such as execution of adulterers, legalization of polygamy, and the abolition of private property. The town was overtaken by the Catholic army in 1535. They severely damaged the reputation of the Anabaptists. And if you could please address that for Mary in Cork, Ireland, Dr. Haken.
Yeah, this sort of thing often happens in periods of church renewal where there are extremists who emerge. We would, you know, the word fanatic is probably an appropriate word in this case, where you have a group of people who claim the Anabaptists. They only baptized adults, but used a variety of methods which are at odds with the scriptures in the New Testament in furthering the kingdom. The use of violence, execution, the setting up a theocracy, all of those things really undermine any New Testament understanding of the nature of the church and the relationship of church and state. But as I said, that sort of thing often happens in periods of revival and renewal. The Reformation is a revival period. The Anabaptists, I think, did rediscover believers' churches. But this particular group gave the term Anabaptist, made it a term of reproach. And it became to be associated with revolution, a rebellion, a riot. Even somebody like John Wesley, 200 years after this, uses the term Anabaptist to describe Baptists he met in England, knowing full well what the implications of that term were, and how that term was distasteful to Baptists, and how it had been used to basically simply write off Baptists without engaging their arguments. Often it's very easy to take something like this, an extremist view, and simply write off what is, I think, a biblical understanding of the relationship of church and state. We have it today with, you know, you get a certain, you know, health and wealth groups who are a complete aberration of biblical Christianity, and the media use these to typify all evangelicals, and it's simply wrong. But it's frequently done, and often in terms of times of renewal, you have these extremists.
And unfortunately, the beliefs and actions of these Munsterites, as I believe they were nicknamed, really brought upon the persecution of a lot of other Anabaptists who had nothing to do with these extreme and bizarre ideas and behaviors, am I right?
Yes, exactly.
And I think Luther, although he did not personally persecute any Anabaptists, he forbid them free passage, I believe, or safe passage. What is the story about that? Because a lot of people, I'm not trying to candy coat the life and thinking of Martin Luther, but I think sometimes his involvement in persecution is exaggerated, if not outright false. But if you could tell us what you know about...
Yeah, Luther himself did not engage in actual persecution of Anabaptists. He encountered some Anabaptists in Saxony. Again, these were on the, if you could use left wing, right wing, these were on the left, far left wing of Anabaptism. They're known as the Zwickau prophets. They claimed they didn't need scripture anymore. They had the Holy Spirit. There's no indication Luther had these people arrested, but he did certainly try to prevent them from preaching their theological aberrations. So, now, Luther would have been in favor of the execution of some of these people because they were, in his mind, they were undermining the state. But there is no indication that Luther himself was involved in the persecution of Anabaptists, per se.
Well, do you know anything about that incident, or incidents, plural, where he forbid Anabaptists safe passage through the areas he had influenced, which resulted in their persecution?
No, I don't. That sounds like something that would take place in the late 1520s, early 1530s, when Anabaptists were beginning to be persecuted and in places like Holland and southern Germany, and were beginning to migrate. A lot of them ended up migrating over towards Poland and the Ukraine and Russia. And so it could be the case that what you're referring to is incidents that relate to that. But I'm not personally aware of those. That simply indicates a lack of my acquaintance with the later Luther. Most of my Luther studies have been the early Luther up until around 1525, his marriage.
Now, as far as the fanatics amongst the Anabaptists in Munster, did their more extreme ideas of polygamy and executing even disobedient children and things like that, did that die off with them, or were there some remnants of...
No, that completely... It was an isolated incident, but it became such a celebrated incident that the memory of it persisted for decades, even for, you know, centuries. And as I said, when John Wesley uses the term as a term of reproach, he knows exactly the connotations and associations the term has with it. Even the use of the term, the color red, in the 1950s is kind of illustrative. To be called a red was to be immediately labeled as a communist. And... that's the sort of thing that's going on there. But the actual errors that were propagated at Munster die out with them.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was mainly asking about. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, one of our regular listeners and also a very generous supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And Grady says, "Hi, Brother Chris, another great show. Growing up Southern Baptist and now as a Reformed Baptist, I often heard about Baptist persecution. Much to my regret, I've never investigated the history. I'm really shocked hearing that the Lutheran and Church of England, which I assume was Anglican, was one of the persecutors. I had assumed the persecution came from the Roman Catholic Church. What other groups persecuted the Baptists, and when did persecution in Europe end so that we, through the providence of God, had great Baptist preachers like Spurgeon?" And that's Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina.
Yeah, persecution essentially in Great Britain ended with the what's called the Glorious Revolution, which is the establishment of William of Orange as the King of England in 1688. That's essentially when it legally ended. But there's ongoing attacks, physical attacks, on Baptist ministers all through the 18th century. In America, you have places like Virginia, where the Church of England was established, seeking to prevent both Presbyterians and Baptists during the Great Awakening, the imprisonment of Baptists in the early 1700s. In New England, you have physical incarceration and, in a few cases, actual brutal whipping. Obadiah Holmes is whipped in Boston, on Boston Common, in 1656, 1657. And so that persecution, though, by the time you enter into the mid-18th century, by the time you get to the late 18th century, technically it has ended. But there are still ongoing cases of violence against Baptists well into the 18th century. And as I said earlier, the establishment of religious freedom is very, very important. And it's not something to be taken, I think, lightly or for granted. And the sorts of things, the reason why I think this topic is of significance for us is that the current intellectual political climate is increasingly one of intolerance towards evangelical Christianity.
Yes, definitely.
And we need to have some idea as to how our forebears handled that, both spiritually and politically and legally.
Amen. We are going to our midway break right now. This is a longer than normal break because our friends at Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who broadcasts this program twice daily in a pre-recorded format, they require this midway break to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the Lake City, Florida area through their own public service announcements and advertisements that are connected to Lake City. So while we air our globally heard commercials during this break, please use this time wisely and write down all of the information that you can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently patronize them and support them whenever possible. And obviously having the information they provide will help you to do that more frequently and successfully. Please remember always that our advertisers are the ones, other than God himself, who keep this program on the air. And in addition to those of our generous listeners who donate to us regularly. So please keep that in mind and patronize the advertisers as much as you can. Also use this time to write down your question for Dr. Michael A.G. Haken on Baptists and Persecution. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers.
I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And they still have two excellent offers, two giveaways that they are offering to you. If you purchase books from cvbbs.com or anything else that they offer, CDs and DVDs, etc. First, if you purchase any amount of merchandise, doesn't matter how inexpensive it is, you will receive, if you request it, the free book, True Love, Understanding the Real Meaning of Christian Love, by Dr. James M. Renahan, president of IRBS Theological Seminary. This is a beautiful little hardback book published by Evangelical Press, EP Books, as they are also known. And you'll get that for free with any purchase, as long as you put in the comments section of cvbbs.com that you want the book. The other book that is absolutely free requires a purchase of a minimum of $50 or more. It's a much larger book, and it happens to be my favorite of all biographies. It is called A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone, by my friend John Thornberry, well-known Baptist historian. This book should be turned into a major motion picture, as I keep telling you. The life of Spencer Cone is utterly fascinating, and it's such a tragedy that he is hardly known by anyone today. Spencer Cone was not only a school teacher, but he was also an attorney and a theater actor, a stage actor in the 19th century, who left that profession because he believed it was sinful. And I'm sure that there was quite a good reason for that. And he was a war hero in the War of 1812. And then he was a Baptist pastor in Manhattan at the First Baptist Church of New York City, where a mutual friend of my guest, Dr. Haken, and mine, Dr. Tony Costa, spoke at an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio event back in 2018 at the First Baptist Church of New York City, a historic church that still stands there. The response that Pastor Cone had after the death of his wife, the grief that he went through, is truly a moving part of the book, something that resonates with me, having lost my own wife and being a widower myself. I just highly recommend this book. It's yours for free if you purchase $50 or more, if you go to cvbbs.com, or if you call 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. If you're ordering online, you have to add the book into your cart. And then, after adding $50 worth of additional merchandise, enter the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron, all capital letters, all one word, and the price of A Pastor in New York, Life and Times, and Spencer Cohen by John Thornberry will be deducted from the total. It might be a lot easier, in fact, it would be a lot easier, if you just verbally told them this by calling 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, and get either the book True Love, with a purchase of any amount, the book by James M. Renahan, or get both of them by purchasing more than $50 worth of merchandise, and also mention A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohen by John Thornberry, another beautiful hardback by EP Books, which is Evangelical Press. And now we have to let you know about some excellent events that are coming up that I hope that you join me in attending. I will be packing up my bags in December and heading back to my old stomping grounds in Manhattan. And what better time to do this than the Christmas season? On Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, I will be attending, God willing, the Foundations Conference, a conference sponsored and hosted by Sermon Audio in the heart of New York City. And this is going to be an extraordinary conference, as it always is. The lineup is spectacular. The speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, my friend Armin Tomassian, who is going to be, I believe, a household name amongst Reformed Christians over the next decade because he is such an extraordinary preacher with gifts and abilities and power far beyond his youth. And Reverend Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley are both also on the lineup. I have not yet heard them preach, but if Sermon Audio selected them for this conference, I'm sure they are superb. If you want to join me in New York City at the Foundations Conference Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. A friend of mine was making fun of me by the way I emphasize the word the in that website, and I do so because a lot of people, including me, accidentally leave the word the off of URLs. So I was doing that actually myself, and then until I realized I was leaving the off, but it's thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. I hope to see you in December in New York City at the Foundations Conference. Then in January, from the 16th through the 18th, that's Thursday through Saturday, January 16th through the 18th, I'm packing up my bags again and heading down to Atlanta, Georgia, as you've been hearing Todd Friel and Phil Johnson raving about the G3 conference. I will be there with Todd and Phil at one of the most phenomenal conferences anywhere in the world. This is the G3 conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And it's held at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, a suburb of Atlanta. And this January, the theme is Worship Matters. And I just heard, I believe it was yesterday, that the roster of speakers has expanded and now includes Dr. John MacArthur of Grace to You Ministries and Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California. One of my most beloved heroes, modern-day heroes of the Christian faith, Dr. John MacArthur, will be speaking. And in addition to Dr. MacArthur, Todd Friel will be speaking of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. Phil Johnson, who is also with Grace to You Ministries, the executive director. My friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who I have called my friend since 1995. We have Costi Hinn, the Reformed Baptist and cessationist nephew of the notorious charlatan Benny Hinn. And Costi is not upset by me publicly saying that because he spends a lot of his time exposing his own uncle and the cohorts involved in the Word of Faith heresy, exposing them for teaching the damning and deadly doctrines that they do teach. So Costi Hinn will be a part of this lineup. David Miller, who is a really extraordinary preacher, old school, a fire and brimstone teacher, really love this brother's teaching. Daryl Bernard Harrison is on the lineup. Derek Thomas, a name very well known to most Reformed Christians. My friend Dr. Joel Beakey, who I've known since the 1990s and called my friend. I was one of the first people to get Dr. Beakey on the radio, actually. He is president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Once again, we have Paul Washer and Dr. Stephen J. Lawson on the line up at this conference. Reverend Stephen Nichols, Dr. Stephen Nichols, who is the president of the Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Dr. Tom Askell, executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Virgil Walker, another fine preacher of the gospel. Vody Baucom, another powerful, powerful speaker, a much-needed voice in the 21st century for sure, and many more. If you want to join me at the G3 Conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. That's Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. I also strongly urge you, if you have a business or parachurch organization, to register for an exhibitor's booth while there is still room, because there's going to be over 5,000 people there. With the addition of Dr. John MacArthur at this conference, I have a feeling they're going to have well over 6,000 people there. So I would register before you run out of room, not only to sit there, but also to register before they run out of room for an exhibitor's booth, if it applies for you. I will be manning my own exhibitor's booth there. So go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and join me Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th at the Georgia International Convention Center, College Park, Georgia. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves. You look forward to the guests and the topics that we offer that sometimes are never heard anywhere else, or at least rarely heard anywhere else. You love giving or sharing the free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones. Well, please, if you love us, don't let us go away. Do whatever you can to perpetuate this program on the air through your gifts and your advertising. If you want to donate to us, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, an address will also appear on the screen where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please always remember, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to their local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in His inerrant holy word. Providing for your church and your home. Providing for my show, obviously, is not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and home, you have extra money that you could use for benevolent purposes, and you love the show and you don't want it to go away, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with me, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put advertising in the subject line, and as long as whatever it is you are advertising is compatible with what I believe, I'll be thrilled to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we really do need the advertising dollars. We are in urgent need, more need than probably ever before, thanks to a handful of you who have responded to my SOS for financial help. We have been able to pay most of the bills that we needed to pay for July, but August looks very, very scary for us. And I hate to sin and disobey our Lord Jesus Christ when he tells us to be anxious for nothing, but it can be very difficult to obey that command. And I just ask of you to please help us. Please help give whatever you can, especially if you have that extra money. Please give as generously as you can and as frequently as you can. IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, or click to donate now. And if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. So if you need help finding a local Bible-believing church wherever in the world you live, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the globe, and I can help you find a church. And if I can't personally help you, perhaps a church on these lists, a pastor on these lists, can help you find a church near you or where you're vacationing. So please send me an email if you are in need of a church. Put "I need a church" or something like that in the subject line and send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And that's the email address where you can also send me a request for advertising and put advertising in the subject line. And also, that's the email address where you can send in a question for Dr. Michael A.G. Haken on Baptists and Persecution. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Dr. Haken, who primarily, we touched on this earlier, Who are the worst culprits, the worst guilty parties in the persecution of Baptists throughout history?
Well, it's probably the Anglicans.
The Anglicans?
Yeah, probably, because Baptists emerge in the 17th century in England. They have congregations by the 1660s in Ireland and Wales, one in Scotland, and but it's between 1660 and 1688, it was illegal in England and Wales to be to worship in any other context but an Anglican context. And so Baptist ministers, pretty well every Baptist minister in this period, and we're looking at probably about 150 congregations in England and Wales, pretty well every Baptist minister and elder was imprisoned. The only one that we know that escaped was William Kiffin, because he was enormously wealthy and was useful for the crown. But pretty well every other Baptist minister went through persecution. And then with 1688, with the Glorious Revolution and King William III becoming the King of England, he passed an Act of Toleration, which legally granted Baptists who registered their churches with the state freedom of religion. However, they couldn't preach outdoors. They couldn't graduate from Oxford or Cambridge. They couldn't hold political office. They couldn't become a commissioned officer in the Army or Navy. And all of those laws persisted until the mid-19th century. And so to be a Baptist for the entire 18th century was to be a second-class citizen in England. In America, you have persecution in New England, and there it's the standing order of the Congregationalist churches who are at fault. And then also in some of the southern states, like Virginia, the persecution doesn't go on as long, but there is nonetheless discrimination. So, for instance, when Adam Niram and Ann Judson become convinced Baptists by reading the scriptures on the voyage over to India in 1812, and they are baptized as believers by William Ward, who is William Carey's co-worker, they write back to friends in America saying that they are confident that this act has cut them off from all of their friends and relatives, which it did. And for many of them, it did. So, but if you were to put everything together in terms of the 19th and 18th century, it would be Anglicans. Now, once you move into the 20th century, you've got a very different picture. Baptist churches were heavily persecuted in the Soviet Union. Baptists, I remember very clearly the people like Georgi Vins and the very courageous stand that many of these men and women took. China, obviously, under the Maoist regime, Nazi Germany. But up until the 20th century, it definitely would have been the Anglican Church.
Yes, the rivers, or the streets, I should say, ran red with rivers of blood due to the Anglican Church. And, of course, they were constantly, throughout their history, swinging back and forth on a pendulum between Romanism and Protestantism. And it is a tragedy that they have the blood on their hands. Of course, not all of them. There are many fine Anglican heroes of the faith. One of my most highly cherished heroes of the faith is Thomas Cranmer, himself a martyr at the hands of Rome, or the Roman Catholic Church of England, when it swung back to that direction. And so it is quite a tragedy that even Protestants were guilty of this. But let me ask you a question. From what I understand of church history, even though, especially amongst Anglicans, Protestants have been guilty of martyrdom or murdering and persecuting fellow Protestants, and at times Roman Catholics. But I have heard from Roman Catholic apologists that the murdering and violent persecution amongst others who call themselves Christians was basically a neck-and-neck race with the Church of Rome. But is that really true? I mean, are Protestants as guilty historically for this severest of persecution?
No, I don't think so. I think that, again, it's difficult, you know, how do you add up statistics, how do you get accurate statistics, but I think up until the 20th century, the Roman Church tended to be hand in glove with various states that it was linked with, Spain, France, and the persecution was brutal. I mean, there's nothing in Protestant history to match the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre of 1572, when somewhere between 25 and maybe as much as 50,000 Protestants were killed within the space of 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
In France.
Wow.
And then the century of persecution that takes place with the Huguenots that led to really hundreds of martyrs and tens of thousands. We're looking at somewhere close to 500,000 French Protestants fleeing the country between 1630 and 1685.
Now, the Huguenots, weren't they Calvinistic in their theology?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
And were they Baptistic or Paedo-Baptist?
They would have been Paedo-Baptist.
Okay.
There were really no French Baptists until what we call the second, the revival that takes place in 1815, 1816, with men like Henri Pitt, who was converted in Geneva around 1816, 1817.
By the way, before I forget, during one of my conversations before the show with Mostyn Roberts, he wanted me to extend my greetings to you.
Good.
And his gratitude to you for being one of the endorsers of the subversive Puritan Roger Williams and Freedom of Conscience. I think that's a very appropriate book to bring up in light of our conversation today, since Roger Williams dedicated a lot of his life to preserving freedom of religion.
Yeah, as I said, I think this is a very important topic. I think the sort of world that we face increasingly is one of intolerance for evangelical Christianity. But not only intolerance in that area, but it affects every area of life. And I think we're moving into a world of increasing, unless the Lord brings revival, of increasing state control of church life. And I think the 18th century English, 17th and 18th century English Baptist experience and a New England Baptist experience, I think is very helpful. I don't think that we're going to go back to the sort of thing that we see in Rome with massive amounts of martyrs, or the sort of thing that we see, what I just mentioned, the 17th century in Huguenot France, or what we see today in necessarily in China, say during the Maoist regime. But I do think it's not impossible that pastors will be imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. Not for believing in the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, but for, you know, issues like gender issues, sexuality, etc., etc. That strikes me as plausible in a way that would not have struck me as plausible 30 years ago.
In fact, there's a listener who has a question connected to that very thing. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, I know your guest is a native Canadian, and I was wondering what his thoughts were on the persecution of Christians in Canada. Of course, not violent persecution, but persecution via fines and possible imprisonment.
Yeah, I think some of that is exaggerated. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. We have had a number of court cases. There was a person who ran a copy shop, photocopy shop, who was taken to court for refusal to print a homosexual manual of some nature. He had previously served these individuals, had no problems with serving them, but when they brought in something that was pornographic literature, he refused. And he was taken to court. He lost that case and was fined. And I think there have been one or two other examples out in Western Canada. Probably one of the most difficult cases is the refusal of the government of British Columbia to allow Trinity Western University, a Christian university, to have a law program, because they said the university, which mandates that students not engage in sexual intimacy outside of marriage or homosexual activity, that that prevents them from producing fine lawyers. And that's been, that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court supported the British Columbia government, and that's disturbing.
Yeah.
That's very disturbing. That parallels the sort of things that happened in England during the 18th century, when basically the state church prevented anybody who was an Anglican from having access to any sort of political, educational, military power. And that sort of move is very, very disturbing in my mind.
Yeah, would you say that Canada has it worse off in regard to freedom of religion and speech than we do, or are we neck and neck? When I say we, I mean the United States.
No, I don't think so. I think that probably we're running parallel, but I do think that Canada, because basically Canada is a large version of New England in terms of percentage of evangelicals. So percentage of evangelicals in Canada would be less than 10%. In Quebec, for example, it's probably 0.5%. And some of the moves recently in Quebec, they passed a law just very recently that you cannot, if you're an official of the state, be it a judge or a police officer, you cannot wear any religious symbol.
Wow. Amazing.
Now, they're aiming that at Muslims, but it's broad. And it gives you some, the most secularized area of Canada is definitely Quebec, and heavily secularized. It used to be very solidly Catholic, and they had what was called the Quiet Revolution in the 1960s, where the power of the Roman state was, Roman Church was smashed. So I think what's going on in Canada is coming down the road for certain areas of the United States, the West Coast, New England, those sorts of things. There are parallels there. But all it would take, technically we have a constitution that guarantees freedom of religion, but all it will take will be for, say, a gay person to listen to a pastor and claim that he is engaging in hate speech when he might read, say, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, and take it to court, and then we'll see how much freedom of religion we actually do have.
Now, I have heard, maybe I heard wrongly, that pastors or churches have been fined merely for putting scripture quotes that condemn homosexuality on billboards and things like that.
No, I've not heard of it. I'm not completely up on everything that's obviously going on in Canada. I've not heard anything like that. I think, given the fact I work in Louisville, sometimes the news reporting on exactly what the situation is in Canada is probably a little exaggerated. I get the impression that some people in the States think things are worse here than they actually are. So
you mean worse in Canada than they actually are?
Yeah, exactly. And I've not seen anything like that. But I think the sort of thing we do face is the sort of thing that's going on in England, where, for example, two young children, 10 and 11 years old, were expelled from a school in Scotland for refusing to participate in a gay pride event that the class was told that they all had to participate in.
Wow, that's
when they tried to tell the teacher, this is his 10 or 11 year olds, that these things are not right, they're wrong, and the two students were expelled from the school.
Wow.
I think we're going to face more of that sort of thing down the road.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who asked, was a part of the reason that the Paedo-Baptist magisterial reformers persecuted Anabaptists, that they were robbing the magisterial reformers as owning, if you will, those that were baptized into the church as infants and were therefore citizens and subjects of the state church from the moment of their births throughout their lives, whereas if you took the baptism out of the equation, you would have people who were not subjects to the church state.
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully understand the content of the question. If it's a question of, you know, it's an economic issues, you know, that these people are no longer then paying tithes to the state, that did continue. The people who committed themselves to Anabaptist congregations, as in England, committed themselves to Baptist congregations, still had to pay tithes to the state. So, for instance, if you were a Baptist in England in the 17th century and 18th century, you had to financially support your own minister, and you also, in your taxes, were taxed to support the local Anglican minister. So this will be true in Germany with the state taxes, Lutherans, and so on. Driving the magisterial reformers essentially are theological ideas. They are fundamentally convinced that the state and the church are to work hand in hand, and their model is obviously a theocratic model drawn from the Old Testament. And I don't think it's a matter of economics or even a matter of power. I think it's a matter of genuinely believing that if the state did not enforce one religious viewpoint, then God would judge the state. And I think it's a failure to understand the implications of the New Testament, the discontinuities between the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. Definitely the Old Covenant is a theocratic state, but the New Covenant is not. Because in God's covenant is with the people who are enrolled among the bride of his dear son. And they're not restricted by ethnicity or nationality. And it's incomprehensible. If you read, even with Calvin, they just can't comprehend the idea that of religious diversity within a given geographical area.
We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who said, what was really at the root of the burning hatred that the magisterial Protestant reformers had against Anabaptists?
Well, as I said, I think it's driven by theological ideas. I think that you've got 1,000 years of a theocratic state church model, and they basically saw the Anabaptists as heretics who, if they were allowed to stay within the body politic, would bring disease. And you've got this model not only of a state church, but you also got the model, which is used frequently in ancient writers, that the state is like a body, a human body. And if disease enters the state, if disease enters the body, and if it's not controlled, if it's dangerous enough, it'll kill the body. Likewise, heresy is a disease. It will destroy the body. And so they feel that God has called them to be good shepherds. I mean, you see this in the writings of Queen Elizabeth I. She was quite conscious that one day she would have to give an account to God, not only of her own personal life, but because she was the head of the church in England, she would have to give an account how she had led the church. And you can understand, and I mean, driving that the way that would drive these individuals in terms of their desire to rid the state of what they regard as heretical elements.
I'm going to read you a question and then have you answer it when we return, because we have to go to our final break right now. BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, asks, were Baptists as a people ever guilty of persecuting their brothers and sisters in Christ over theological issues? And we will have you answer that when we return from our break. And this will be your final opportunity to ask a question of Dr. Haken, if you have one. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Michael A.G. Haken after these messages with more of our discussion on Baptists and persecution.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God. That Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection. And that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which is almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W. R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back. And Dr. Haken, BB asked, did Baptists as a people ever persecute their brothers and sisters in Christ from other denominations and theological understandings?
Yeah, it's not an easy question to answer in some ways.
Now, of course, we're not talking about, like, nut jobs and reprobates in the Ku Klux Klan who persecuted others, but they weren't representing the Baptist faith, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think essentially the answer is no. That doesn't mean that there haven't been situations where people who are committed Baptists went against really their basic principles. And I'm not trying to paint Baptists as
infallible.
So I'm not sure how I want to describe that. I am a Baptist, obviously, and you could, you know, I'm not saying that we haven't had our problems. We have. significant problems. But persecution of others has not been one of them. I could be wrong, and I'd be happy to be corrected. Generally speaking, apart from Southern Baptists, Baptists have never been thick enough on the ground in any given situation to have had significant access to political power. The only example that comes to mind is between 1850 and 1910 in England, when Baptists, along with Methodists and Congregationalists, realized that they were the overwhelming majority of churchgoers, and they basically had a significant political force, contrary to where they had been in the previous 200 years. But there is no persecution per se that is going on of non-Baptists. They were very much committed to genuine religious liberty. That's a mainstay of their lives. There may be local situations in southern context where Southern Baptist leadership in a town might have had significant influence and been discriminatory against others. I don't deny that. But in terms of a large scale, the sort of things that I've been talking about, no.
Right, and even in those rare circumstances where you believe Southern Baptists or Baptists in the Southern United States may have been involved in less than Christian practice with their neighbors, it really wasn't they weren't representing Baptist ecclesiology and theology when doing it. They were probably just Baptists, weren't they? It was just an accidental that they were Baptist. It wasn't really the driving force.
Exactly. I mean, a Baptist, at the heart of the Baptist vision, is this emphasis on the freedom of people to embrace the gospel and the necessity of congregations to be independent of state control. I mean, it's a tremendous vision. And the whole concept of we owe our Baptist forebears enormous amount for the suffering that they went through to achieve religious liberty, which now is universally enjoyed. And even in the late 20th century, the Roman Catholic Church will champion religious liberty. But if you want to look at where it started with, you obviously have roots back in the patristic period. I'm thinking here of people like Tertullian, Lactantius, in their apologies against the Roman emperors. But in the modern world, Baptists have played a very, very important role in that, and they've suffered for it.
We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, isn't it ironic that most of the King James-only movement that exists in modern-day Christendom are Baptists, and yet there was not one Baptist on the translation committee of the King James Version in the 17th century, and the Church of England was persecuting Baptists during that century as well. Isn't this a contradiction to believe that the King James Version is the only truly inspired version?
Yeah, that is deeply ironic, and you actually see it in a number of the words that are used to translate. So, the word episkopos, being basically transliterated as bishop, all of the men who were involved in the translation of the KJV were Episcopal. They were Episcopalian in their theological orientation. Some of them, I think there's two or three, were Puritans, but nonetheless they were Puritans with an Episcopalian ecclesiology. But there's nobody on that committee who's a Congregationalist, and definitely no Baptist. So it is curious that the KJV has become kind of KJV-onlyism, has found it a lodging place with certain independent Baptists. That's very ironic.
Yeah, and another irony that I can't help but chuckle over is there is an organization, I don't know if it still exists, but there was at least an organization called the Dean Burjohn Society, which is a King James-only group, and one of the requirements to belong to the Dean Burjohn Society was to be a Baptist, and yet Dean Burjohn was not a Baptist. He could not belong to his own society if he was alive. He was an Episcopalian or Anglican.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that's choice.
Well, we are out of time, and I want to make sure that our listeners have the website for the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. It is sbts.edu. SB for Southern Baptist, TS for Theological Society.edu. Do you have any other contact information that you care to give?
Yes, if people want to contact me personally, the sbts.edu is the email address, but it's mhaykin, M-H-A-Y-K-I-N, at sbts.edu. And I've done a number of articles on this whole area, and I'd be happy to share some of those and also give book recommendations.
Praise God. Well, I look forward to you returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio very frequently, brother. It's always a joy to have you on. I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.